And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't. And it was so bad in some cases that if you were a ministry that did welcome me, then you were attacked by other ministries. You can get in trouble just being my friend. And I'm not saying that so that you'll feel sorry for me. I'm saying that to say this is real. It's a real thing. And when I read this story, I know people like that, by the way, around here. When I read this story, it tells me something about Jesus that just makes me fling myself into his arms and cling to him. And it makes me want to be the kind of person that he is. So let's look at this interaction with a social and spiritual pariah, a repulsive person, a person that if he did get within 150 feet, you could smell him. Think of the most disgusting type of human you can think of, morally, spiritually, physically. That's a leper. So you got large crowds of people following Jesus. One guy, a brave guy, breaks the law. Verse 2, came and worshiped before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Something about that just thrills me. If you want to. So I know who you are. I know you're the Lord. I know you can do this. You know what I wonder? Where did he get that idea? How in the world could he get that idea? He sure didn't get it at church. Do you know that Moses had put on the books for priestly duties a ceremony for the celebration of the healing of a leper? Until this moment, it had been on the books for 1,500 years and had never been used. Until this moment when Jesus said to this guy, go show the priest. And the priest may have to Google leprosy, you know, and ceremony, you know, and try to find, you know, because he's, you know, no one's ever used it. If you're willing, I know you can. Boy, what great faith that is. Can I just speak real to, I mean, I know most of you fairly well. Isn't that our problem? Our problem isn't that we doubt that God has the ability. Our problem is we're not sure that he would really want to do it for us. The devil gets me with that all the time. I am restricted in what I ask God to do, not because I doubt his power. I believe he can do anything. I just wonder, would he really do it for me? I can relate to this guy. And then the next thing that Jesus did makes me cry. I can barely talk about it without crying. It wasn't the healing that made me cry. It's the very next word says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Why? Well, Bob, come on. You know, yay! You know, the whole, you got to touch him to heal him. Well, we just read in a couple of verses later, Jesus flung a word out across 20 miles of space and healed the guy without even being there. Why couldn't he just say, yes, leper, great theology, yes, you are healed? Why did he touch him? You know it was against the law for a holy man to touch a leper? Even a holy man. If a holy man touched a leper, even accidentally, he had to go home, take off all his clothes, including his shoes, and burn them. And then he had to go through an elaborate ceremony to be cleansed, because this is how defiled, spiritually, not physically, how defiled spiritually they believed that lepers were. Do you know, probably more healing happened in the mind of this leper when Jesus touched him than when his leprosy went away. It's the same thing with the woman who was defiled by hemorrhaging for 12 years. 12 years she couldn't have been touched by her husband. 12 years she couldn't go to the synagogue. She was considered unclean. Why Jesus' touch meant so much to them. I just want to spend a few minutes on this, if I may. Do you feel defiled? There's some folks that aren't here today, and one of the reasons they're not here is they feel too defiled to be here. I wish I could look them in the eyes and say, Jesus is not horrified by your sin. He's seen it all. There's nothing that you could possibly have done that could shock him. Do not let anything keep you away from Jesus. Another thing I would say is don't try to clean yourself up first. Jesus knew that this guy could not be clean unless he touched him first. He might have been physically healed, but there was something that happened in the touch first. The touch first says, I am not afraid of your sin. But touch said, I care about you. Touch says a lot, doesn't it? You'll never know, Stephanie, how much it blessed my heart when you, on my birthday, said how much it meant that when I hugged you with Jesus' love. That is one of the moments in my life that I will cherish as encouraging. Touch is a big deal. Can you imagine? This guy has this stuff happen to him, totally out of his control, and now the very people that could have been comforting him wouldn't even touch him, would have nothing to do with him. And worse than that, consider, well, this happened to you because of what a horrible person you are. You know the damage that could do? I do. It messes you up. It makes you afraid to trust anybody, especially church people. So it was a big deal when Jesus touched him. I would tell people, Jesus knows that you can't be cleansed until he touches you. So he's not afraid for you to touch him. He's not afraid for you to come close. Run to him. If you have to shove people out of the way, if you have to shove ministers out of the way, you have my permission. But don't let anything keep you away from Jesus. I love the emphasis in the Greek. You totally lose in every English translation that I read, even the Amplified, which is sad because the Amplified usually picks these things up. But the Greek is one of, it's a weird thing we don't have in English, but it's a statement that has back of it a parallel statement. In other words, it's on your computer, it would be where you write something out in an email and then you bold it, or you double it, or you double underline it, or you highlight it in your Bible. It's an expression of extreme eagerness in Greek. Jesus reaches out and touches him, and he says, I am willing. I am willing. Oh, I would love to. I would have paid big money. I might have even sold my mini to see Jesus' face when he said this. It's a statement of eagerness. And he was immediately cured. Don't we love it when God answers prayer that way? Wouldn't it be great if he always said yes when we prayed for healing? You know, he doesn't always say yes. Sometimes he says no. Even the godly people. And sometimes he says not now. I have to admit that I would rather have a no. Just let me get on with it. I've already got plan B, plan C, you know, just, you know, don't make me wait. Especially for healing. But you know what? One of the things that we need to know, and I'll tell you, knowing God's heart will really clear it up, and that is that all of God's answers are good answers. All of God's answers are loving answers. Not just when he says yes. If he says no, there's a reason why saying no is better than saying yes. And it's not because you stink. Can you give me an example, Bob, of a godly person that Jesus said no when they asked for healing? Yeah, the Apostle Paul. Three times. And in Greek, in Paul's own testimony, it's really emphatic and strong. He begged to be healed. And three times Jesus said no. And the last time Jesus said no, he says, I have something better. In your weakness, my strength will be made perfect. And my grace will be enough for you. I have something better for you than even physical comfort. And that's that as you're leaning on me, you're going to find that that's enough. Now, I would be not doing a service to you if I said that, you know, it's wrong for you to ask to be healed. Paul asked three times, even though he got a no the first two times. I always pray for God to heal people. I've seen them do it enough times that nobody can tell me, whatever their theological school they went to, nobody can tell me God doesn't heal people today. I've watched it happen. But nobody can tell me that he always heals everybody that asks, either. I find it really interesting that the very same week, somebody that I know that's not walking very close to the Lord was healed of cancer, and somebody that I know is the most godly woman that I've ever met in my life died of cancer. So do I understand healing? No, I do not. Do I understand God's heart? Barely. I do know this. He's able, and if he's willing, he can, and he will. That's the extent of my teaching on healing. But you know what? I always ask. Unless he tells me this is not something I wanted, there's people I've been praying for years, I'm going to keep praying. I'm still praying for my dad to be healed of his brain damage. And I'm not going to stop until God tells me, sorry, Bob, not going to do it. Because there are just too many stories. We saw one of them on Wednesday night, didn't we? Of people that were sick for years. One guy, 40 years. And 100 times. A godly man walked past him and didn't heal him until one day God did. So I'm just going to keep praying for God to heal people. I love this story. This is a fascinating story. To be honest with you, Jesus touching the man blesses my heart more than Jesus healing the man. Because I know what that does to your head. Jesus can undo a lot of damage that has been done in his name.